This podcast is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, previously known as UlugaRadio.org. We thank you for listening.
Welcome to A Few Good Men with your host, Rick Popejoy. Today on our leadership podcast, I want us to consider a simple phrase made by the Apostle Paul in his Corinthian correspondence. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse number 10, we have these words: "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." I want you to pause just for a second there, and I want you to at least highlight that on the chalkboard of your mind. We persuade men. Now, Paul continues his thought here by saying, "But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are manifest in your conscience." So today I want us to consider this powerful yet simple phrase made by the Apostle Paul: we persuade men. He gives us the reason as to why we persuade men. There will one day be a judgment. And based upon that judgment, leaders all across the land, spiritual-minded men, are concerned about their soul. They're concerned about the soul of their families. They're concerned about the souls of their neighbors. And they're concerned about the souls even of their enemies because, listen, they are spiritually minded men. And in relationship to that, knowing that God will punish sin, knowing the terror of the Lord, that is the severity of the punishment. Matthew 25, 46 says, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life." Hebrews 10 and verse number 29, "Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, hath counted the blood of the covenant unholy thing, has done despite unto the Spirit of grace." 2 Thessalonians 1 and 9, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of His glory." It will be an intense suffering. We do not want anyone to go through that kind of suffering. And so based upon that, we persuade men. Now, I want you to consider just for a second the breakdown of this simple sentence. It's not hard to break it down. It contains three words, right? It should be easy for the spiritually minded man to consume this statement of the Apostle Paul. We. Think about that. Not supernatural beings. Not angels. Angels aren't doing this work of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Angels aren't taking care of that responsibility to go into all the world. Once that commission was given to men on that mountain in Galilee in Matthew 28, in Mark chapter 15, in Luke chapter 24, in John chapter 20, and Acts chapter 1. Once it was given to men, that excluded anyone else from participating in that. The Holy Spirit does not do that work. The Father or the Son, no heavenly host will participate in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ from or to a man. In fact, you find wonderful examples of this throughout the book of Acts. When you find that Saul of Tarsus was on his road to Damascus to take men and women, and Jesus appears unto him, do you notice that Jesus does not tell Saul of Tarsus what to do to be saved? He says, "Go into Damascus, and there it will be told." Well, who's going to tell him? Ananias, that wonderful disciple of Damascus. You remember in Acts chapter 8, that when the Ethiopian eunuch is traveling back home, he's already been to Jerusalem to worship. He's going back home to take what he has learned back to his country, and he is missing something important. The knowledge of who the sacrificial servant of Isaiah 53 was. And so notice here that an angel of the Lord appears unto Philip. Well, now that angel of the Lord was faster than Philip. He had more information than Philip. He could get there, and he's stronger than Philip. He could take all the difficulties along the way a whole lot better than Philip. But yet he goes to Philip, and he sends Philip down to meet the Ethiopian to tell that Ethiopian what to do to be saved. Well, in Acts chapter 10, there's an angel of the Lord that appears unto the lost individual there of Cornelius. And he is told to send all the way to Joppa, 3 days' journey, all the way to Joppa, just to fetch Peter, so that Peter could tell him words whereby he and his whole household could be saved. You see, since the Great Commission was given, there has never been an appearance of an angel of Jesus Christ, God the Father, or the Holy Spirit to tell a man what to do in order to be saved. So the reference here to the Apostle Paul, we, by the way, this doesn't include non-Christians. This is not the work of the denominational realm. It's not the work of individuals that are religious but not Christians. Christians must do this work. Leaders must be about spreading the gospel. We've got it in our hands. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 still, beginning in verse number 17, what our commission is. He says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." If people are swaying and swooning on my words, my ability to do the preaching of the gospel, then they're not listening to the gospel, my friends. So he says, "For the preaching of the cross, to them that are perishing, foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We persuade men." But now notice this. We persuade. We're not going to force people to accept the truth. We're going to persuade men in order to accept the truth. Men are free moral agents. They have the power of choice. I don't have to force them. I mean, this isn't Catholicism when they overtake the Gauls and they force the Gauls to be baptized. And the Gauls say, well, listen, I'll be baptized, but I will if my right hand, my sword-fighting hand, is above the water. That's not conversion. That's not conviction. That's not baptism. You see, we persuade men, and we do that with the gospel. You got to love what Paul said to the Roman brethren. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." We persuade. You know, in Acts chapter 25 and or verse 24, chapter 24 and verse number 25, it says, "And Paul reasoned with Felix of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And Felix trembled when he reasoned with him. Even to King Agrippa he said, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from thee. He said, thou believest the prophets? I know thou believest the prophets. And then King Agrippa said unto him, almost thou," what is that? "Persuadest me to be a Christian." We persuade men. Now, by the way, we don't persuade God. There are a lot of people trying to persuade God that what they're doing is acceptable, but a true spiritually minded godly leader seeks to persuade men to alter their understanding to God's perception. So he says in Galatians 1 and 10, "For do I persuade men or God?" We don't try to persuade. He is supreme. So we persuade those who are not Christians to be reconciled to God. We persuade those individuals who are lost in, they have been baptized, they are members of the body of Christ, but they are lost because of the way that they're living. Leadership then persuades them to come home. So Acts 26 and 28, as we mentioned, King Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You see, we persuade men. My friends, I want to encourage you that you, like the Apostle Paul, could wish yourself accursed from Christ for your brethren, kinsmen according to the flesh, that they might be saved. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 3. Romans 10 and 1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." So we persuade men. Let us be about our responsibility as leaders in the body of Christ. God bless, and y'all have a wonderful day.